Good evening. Thank you so much for joining us tonight for another special, awesome, anointed session, our time of ministry in the Word of God and our Bible study. Hallelujah. Our God is good. We give Him the glory and the praise. He's awesome. He's amazing. He's wonderful. I trust God that you are well. You are blessed. You and your family, your loved ones, I trust that you are all enjoying the goodness of the Lord. It's such a privilege again tonight to be able to come together with the saints around the Word of God. Continuing on our series of lessons on spiritual authority, or believers' authority and dominion. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's have a number of powerful things that I want us to talk about tonight, and hopefully in our next session as well. But let's share a word of prayer and let's get into the Word of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for tonight. We give you the glory and the praise for your goodness to us, your loving kindness, your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you continue to do for us. What an awesome year this has been. What a glorious year this has been. Just so many testimonies of your love and your goodness. So many, just too many to recount, to talk about. Lord, we're so grateful. We're so thankful. And Father, I want to thank you for everyone that is online joining us tonight in real time or that's joining us afterwards for this Bible study. Bless them and their families. Lord, I ask for the tongue of the learned. Grant me grace. Lord, think through my mind and speak through my lips. Help me, God, to minister the wise counsel of God. Grant us understanding hearts, all of us. Help us to be able to receive from you tonight. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We know you are here. We're excited. We're thankful. Have your way amongst us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Glory to God. This is the day that the Lord has made. Hallelujah. We will rejoice and we will be glad in it. I'm super excited to get with us again tonight. We're going to dive right in the aspect of believers' authority and dominion that we have been studying for about a couple of weeks or so now. As we wind down this series, long series of studies together. But these are very crucial parts that we're getting into before we finally get towards the end of our studies. Talking so much about the believer's authority and dominion and so many great things that we have learned with the help of the Holy Spirit, how the Lord Jesus Christ gave us his authority. We have the same authority that Jesus gave to the disciples when he rose from the dead. The reality of the resurrection. The resurrection was responsible for everything that Jesus was able to transfer to the church. And we truly are blessed as a people to have God's authority, that we're able to stand in his place, we're able to represent him, and we have the same power, we have the same authority that he exerts. Hallelujah. And as God's people, when we stand in our rightful place and with understanding and with revelation knowledge, with perception, authority is an amazing thing. Glory to God. It is through that authority that we're able to walk upon, we're able to tread and walk upon all of the power of the enemy. Like the Lord Jesus Christ said in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, he said, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Of course, I fell in love with that verse right there in Psalm 91 as well. I just love it. It's almost exactly like Luke 10:19, saying exactly the same thing, the same message. Glory to God, the same authority. Psalm 91 and verse 13. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thou shalt tread upon the lion. You will tread. You will tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon, you trample underfoot. Trample. That's we'll squash their authority. We'll trample them under our feet. Glory to God. Like the Bible says in Romans, that the head of the serpent will be crushed under our feet. Glory to God. That's why Jesus came. Amen. That's why Jesus came. Glory to God. That's what Paul prayed. He says, I pray, my God will soon crush. This is Romans chapter 16 and verse 20. And the God of peace. Hallelujah. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Amen. The God of peace, in the Amplified, it says, and the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The God of peace, the God of shalom, the God of nothing missing, nothing broken, he will soon crush the head of Satan under your feet. He will soon crush everything that for any child of God has harassed, has been a source of harassment, anything that has held God's children in any form of captivity or bondage. We've explained a lot of this and talked a lot about this, and I'm really not going back there tonight. I'm going forward, moving to talking about just the freedom that Jesus came to give to us. The liberty, what the Bible describes as the glorious liberty of the children of God. That any kind of chains, any kind of yokes, any kind of bondages will be broken. Will be broken. And some of these yokes and bondages, they present in different ways. Some of them are very dramatic, where it's very obvious this person is really under yokes. They are being bound. Everybody can see it and everybody can tell. But there are so many people who are dealing with bondages and people can't tell. They are bound by so many different things in their lives. They know it. They know they are constantly being tormented by the enemy. And many, many people in the secret place of their bedrooms, of their lives, are just held in bondage and can't break free. And like we described before, in turmoil, so much turmoil. Some of these obviously are a result of personal sins. We've discussed this. Some of these are just vulnerabilities, doors that we open to the enemy. We've discussed this. Some of these are like ancestral sins, generational yokes, things that are passed down through the generational line. People don't realize, they don't understand why am I suffering from this? I didn't do anything. They just got up. They just woke up, found themselves under this bondage of the enemy. They wonder, how did I get to be like this? Well, glory to God, there's freedom. There's freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious liberty of the children of God, which we enjoy. The God of peace, he says, and the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Crush Satan under your feet. Well, that's what exercising authority does. My goal in this service and possibly our next service is twofold. Number one, if there's anyone who's listening who's participating with us in these services, in these teachings, who feels any form of bondage, right? It may even be things you've not discussed with anyone. Strange spiritual experiences, yokes and torments and turmoil that you feel from time to time, whether they're as a result of things that you yourself participated in, or you just found yourself dealing with this at some point or the other in your life, and you don't know how it started, you don't know why, and all of, but you know, you recognize there's a bondage there. Well, the Lord is having me go through some of this so that you can receive complete freedom from those things. The oppressed can be set free, captivities can be broken, bondages can be broken. Like I said, nobody else may know about it. It may be something that you've dealt with for years or for a short period of time, but something you know is spiritual. You know it's holding you captive, and you want to be set free from it. Well, glory to God. We would minister that. I would. A lot of what I would minister and talk about will have a lot to do with that. Now, I'm also considering prayerfully. I might just devote a service at some point in the future before I wrap up this series of lessons, where we can actually have like a deliverance service or a freedom service online, virtual. You know, if people can give their lives to Christ and embrace Jesus and be forgiven of their sins, repent and renounce the devil and all of this stuff, if they can do it through a TV, through some media, through listening to a message, through, of all of that can happen virtually, certainly deliverance can happen virtually. Once there's clarity, there's instructions, the word of God is made clear, and the power of the Holy Spirit is at work, yes, certainly people can be set free. So my desire is some of these things that I'll talk about, it will prepare us for that. But there's a second desire that I have, a second goal, an objective that I have, is that many of you listening tonight, and whether you are listening in real time or whether you are you listened after the fact, there are many people that you know who are close to you, who are connected with you, either people in your family, people at work, or people, friends, or people that you just have a relationship with, and they've told you stories from time to time of things, or you know by discernment of the Holy Spirit that there are spiritual yokes and bondages there. Now, you are already free, right? If you are not free, glory to God, you get free through some of this ministry that we're doing, some of these things that we're talking about. But these people, you know there's some bondage there, right? And you know that their heart is willing to be free. My goal is to engage you as an extension of the ministry that we're doing here on in our Bible studies, and that you can go out and be agents of God's freedom. You can be agents of God's deliverance. You can go out and you can minister to people. Obviously, there's a lot of information, knowledge that goes with this. Like, you need to know what you're doing. You need to be able to minister to people first from the Word of God, the Word of truth. And then if people are yielded and if they are willing, like you see something going on in somebody's life, maybe there's a generational situation, maybe there's something going on in a family and you know this is just not right, this is not godly, and this just is a cycle that repeats and repeats. You can do things in that family. You can call key people in that family and you can do a freedom ministry together, go through just breaking yokes together. Amen. If there are specific individuals that you believe are under these yokes and these bondages, you know, through the wisdom of God, you can invite them to minister to them, to talk to them, share with them from the Word of God. And if their hearts are open and they are yielded and they are willing to receive freedom, you can minister the Word to them and then minister to them and pray over them so that they can be set free. Hallelujah. So those are some of my objectives, a couple of my most important objectives for these specific services that I'm doing here on total life freedom. Listen to this. Our total life freedom is in Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit and by the truth of the Word of God. Our total life freedom. Our total life freedom is in the Lord Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit and by the truth, the eternal truth of the Word of God. So that means every believer should be enjoying total life freedom in Christ Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and by the eternal truth of the Word of God. Amen. So if you are free already, glory to God, maintain that freedom and go on and set the captives free, like I said earlier. If there's a need for you to get liberty, liberated yourself, then get that liberation, get that freedom, and then become an agent that the Lord can use. I love this woman's story in Luke chapter 13. Let's go there and read this story. Luke chapter 13, and let's read it from verse 10. Let's read it all the way to verse 16. Hallelujah. Luke, the gospel according to Luke chapter 10. And Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years. And she was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. This woman was bound by an unclean spirit, a spirit of infirmity. But that bondage also translated into a sickness, which was very obvious for everyone to see. Now, without being told and without spiritual discernment, you couldn't tell that that sickness was a result of a spiritual bondage. Like I've said this on some of our teachings before. Some spiritual bondage leads to infirmity, leads to sickness, physical health issues. But there's a whole lot of spiritual bondage that doesn't show up as health issues. And there's a whole lot of health issues that have nothing to do with spiritual bondage. So this is why discernment is extremely important. Sometimes, you can, like in this woman's case, right? Most of the people who saw this woman didn't know she was bound by a spirit of infirmity, but Jesus knew immediately because he had discernment. Hallelujah. The Bible says in verse 12, and when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Woman, you are loosed. You are loosed. I'm going to read verses 11 and 12 from the Amplified. It says, there was a woman there who for 18 years had an infirmity caused by a spirit, a demon of sickness. That infirmity was caused by a spirit, a demon of sickness. She was bent completely forward and utterly unable to straighten herself up or to look upward. She couldn't look up. She was bent. She was bent over. And God created man to look up. That's where vision comes from. The ability to look up and see beyond where we are. But Satan has so bound this woman that she couldn't see anything beyond the ground on which she was walking. She was so much in bondage. A lot of bondage that people deal with limits their ability to see the future or envision a better future than where they are today. A lot of bondage that Satan afflicts a lot of people with limits their ability to have hope for a good life. This woman, the Bible says she was bound, she couldn't look up. And when Jesus saw her, in verse 13, he called her to himself and said unto her, woman, you are released, he said. Woman, you are released. That's the power encounter right there. There are two major ways in which captivities are dislodged. There are two major ways in which the oppressed is set free. Every form of ministry to people that are in bondage or anyone who's held captive or oppressed by anything is usually carried out in two major ways. The first one is what we're seeing here, which is popularly called the power encounter. And a lot of the scriptures that I'm going to read tonight are a lot of those scriptures that are talking about how the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, came to set the captives free using the anointing of the Holy Spirit as a power encounter. That's why a lot of times too, when there are bondages and there are things that have been set in place, it's actually helpful that there's a laying on of hands, either anointing with oil and laying on of hands and direct prayer, if that can be done in person. But sometimes it can be done in person, and so we need to give instructions through some medium where people either anoint themselves. You remember in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, they actually took handkerchiefs from where Paul had prayed over those handkerchiefs. Remember, this was not an in-person ministry. Those handkerchiefs were taken to places where there were people who had infirmities. And the Bible says evil spirits were driven out once those handkerchiefs touched them, right? Those handkerchiefs became a point of contact, almost representing the power of God in real time, as though the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, were present right there where people were being prayed for. So there are two major ways in which the captives are set free. Those who are in bondage are set free. It's the power encounter, and there's the truth encounter. The power encounter and the truth encounter. And both of these work hand in hand. Both of these need to be exercised together. Right? Like we've shared together on some of these our teachings. Sometimes, you know, people go to a meeting or they go to an event or even like, you know, a Bible study like this where there's so much power, there's the word of God being ministered, and then maybe at some point there's ministry offered and the power of God comes through, and maybe through the laying on of hands, anointing with oil, and yokes are destroyed and bondages are broken, right? That happens a lot. Unfortunately, many times people can actually leave from there. They go back home, they continue on in their lives because there is no truth encounter. There is no direct encounter with the Word of God on an ongoing basis. So they don't become filled with the Word. You know, the Bible says in the Psalms, you know, it says, rule down in the midst of your enemies, rule with the rod of the Word of God, the authority of the Word of God. It's basically talking about how Jesus exercises dominion through the rod of authority, which is the Word of God, right? When the anointing of the Holy Spirit breaks yokes, but the truth of the Word of God does not occupy the vessel that has now been set free, there is no revelation knowledge. There is no, you know, like Paul prayed in Ephesians 1:15, I pray, right? Bow my knees unto the Father that you may be filled with the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened that you may know. Now, when all of that doesn't, all of that happens through the truth of the Word of God. If that, when that does not happen, there's just an execution and an exercising of the power and authority of God. A lot of times, people get to regress. Satan finds a door and he comes back in. And I've discussed this. You know, we've read Matthew chapter 12. If you haven't been with us, especially like the last two sessions, you need to go back and listen to that. So there is the power encounter, and there is the truth encounter. And those are the two ways, working hand in hand, through which human beings are set free from every form of captivity, every form of bondage. And that's how they maintain their freedom going forward. That's how they maintain their freedom. Because the fact that we are free from something, the fact that a yoke has been broken, a generational curse has been stopped, work of darkness has been stopped and canceled in our lives, does not mean Satan is going to back off permanently. He's going to keep trying to come back, trying to keep coming back to bring those same things back into our lives. Let's get back to this scripture. Jesus said, you are released. You are loosed. It's a woman. You are released from your infirmity. Verse 13. This is Luke chapter 13 and verse 13. Then he laid his hands on her. See, the two things he did. Woman, you are loose. He spoke the word. And number two, he laid his hands on her. And the Bible says, instantly, she was made straight. And she recognized and thanked and praised God. That's the Amplified. Now, in the King James, in verse 13, this is Luke chapter 13, verse 13, and Jesus laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Immediately. How did that happen immediately? Because the power of God was disbursed. The power of God was disbursed into that life. So notice Jesus spoke words. Woman, you are released from your infirmity. But then he also laid hands on her and disbursed the power of God. That's the power encounter and the truth encounter. And you see in this story, when the ruler of the synagogue was upset, kind of pulling his hair out, that Jesus ministered to this woman on a Sabbath day and started to talk garbage. Listen to what happened here, because the Lord Jesus Christ continue to press the truth. Now, long after the power of God has been disbursed in our lives, the truth of the Word of God, the truth, the revelation, the truth of the Word of God is what upholds and sustains the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. The truth of the Word of God is what enables us now to take our place of authority and dominion. What have we been doing? All these past 12, 13, 14 weeks, however long we have been going on this series of messages, what have we been doing? We have been upholding the truth of the revelation of the Word of God in order to access our rightful place as God's children to be able to exercise spiritual authority and dominion. The truth that we receive has elevated us. The truth of the Word of God that we have received has elevated us and given us a place where we can lay hold on our inheritance of authority and dominion. And we can determine, like Jesus said to the disciples, whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you lose on earth will be loose in heaven. It's the truth. That's why the Word of God, being in the Word, is so powerful. There's a lot of people that place a lot of premium on the power of God. That's awesome. The power of God is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God, it's awesome. The anointing of the Holy Spirit will break yokes. The anointing of the Holy Spirit will lift burdens off of people's shoulders. But it is the truth, the revelation of the truth of the Word of God that keeps yokes broken, that keeps burdens away, that keeps freedom a reality. Amen. Glory to God. So you see, in verse 14, the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to walk. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath. Then the Lord answered him and said, you hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath lose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead them away to watering? You know what Jesus is saying is, you're a hypocrite. You're saying people should only be, they should only come for healing outside of the Sabbath. Says, but you, this morning before you came to the synagogue, you loosed your animals. You watered them, right? You did some work at home. And Jesus said, listen to what he said now in verse 15, in verse 16. He said, and ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years, ought not this woman to be loosed from this bondage on the Sabbath day? I want you to see all the revelatory truths that are packed into that one verse of scripture in Luke chapter 13 and verse 16. I want you to see all the revelatory truths about that woman's condition. Jesus didn't just lay hands on her. Jesus didn't speak the word, but there were some revelatory truths that were at work, the understanding of which would not have just set this woman free, but would have helped her maintain her freedom, would have helped her keep her freedom as she continued to live her life serving God. Look at that. Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has loosed, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? Listen to how the Amplified Bible puts it, the version of the Amplified. Look at how the Amplified version puts it. Ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bondage on the Sabbath day? Just look at some of these revelatory truths. This woman is a daughter of Abraham. That's revelatory. Right? She's a daughter of Abraham. So that means she qualifies for God's best because of God's covenant with Abraham. Because of that Abrahamic covenant, she ought not to experience anything less than the best of God. That's a powerful, powerful revelatory truth right there. Right? Maybe other people who are not daughters of Abraham, maybe they can stoop down and the rest of their lives be stuck where they are and not be able to lift their heads up and not be able to see the stars and not be able to envision and not be able to live right and not be upright, not be able to enjoy the blessings of life, of good health. Yeah, maybe. I mean, even for them, it's not right. Right? It's not right. But more so for this daughter of Abraham. Jesus says she's a daughter of Abraham. See, that's revelation right there. That's revelatory truth. As truth encounter. Like, as a daughter of Abraham, you ought not to be dealing with this. As a child of God, you ought not to be dealing with this. As someone who is saved, who is delivered, who is redeemed, who is born again, who has the Holy Spirit, you ought not to be under the influence of this negative spirit. This evil spirit of whatever it is ought not to be operating in your life or in your family. This generational curse ought not to be in your family. You are a son of Abraham. You are a daughter of Abraham. You are blood bought. You are sanctified. You are redeemed by the blood of Jesus. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. You ought not to be dealing with this generational curse. Now, is Jesus denying the reality of what this woman was dealing with? Oh, no, by no means. No, he's not. But what's Jesus saying? That ought not to be so. That's not the way God intends it. That is not acceptable to God, and it should not be acceptable to you. If there's bondage in any area of people's lives, believers, we're dealing with this yoke, we're dealing with depression, we're dealing with all of these things that the enemy tries to use to destroy people, panic attacks and anxiety and fear and worry and confusion and turmoil, no peace, no joy, suicidal tendencies, habitual destructive vices. Jesus said that ought not to be so. He's not denying the reality of this woman experiencing that. Obviously, she was bent over. No, what he's saying is that ought not to be so. You ought not to entertain that bondage in your life. You ought not to be making excuses for that failure. You ought not to accept that as the final verdict. That bondage, that sickness, that yoke, that pain. I don't care what the origin or the history of it is. You ought not to accept that. You are a child of God. You are a daughter of Abraham. You are a son of Abraham. Hallelujah. Ought not this woman being a daughter of Abraham? That's revelatory truth. Whom Satan has bound. Notice, he said, it's not just sickness. People say, you know, it's just this thing. It just bothers me from time to time, and it almost takes my life. And you know, it runs in our family. It's just one of those health things. No. Jesus says, Satan bound. Whom Satan has bound, that's what he said. Whom Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years. And Jesus said, this woman was bound by Satan for these 18 years is why she was bent over the way she was. It's not an allergy. It's not this. It's not that. It's Satan bound this person. Now, don't get me wrong. There are things that, you know, every human being from time to time deals with. Right? If you have allergies, you have allergies. If you have this reacting to things, you react to things. If you milk or whatever, lactose intolerant or whatever those things are, that's what it is. Now you can be released from those things too. Anything that does not allow you to enjoy the fullness of life, you can be released from those things too. Amen. We've seen people released from those kind of things too. Right? Especially when it's at a level where it just absolutely makes your life absolutely uncomfortable. And I've seen people who've told me, you know, it's the one thing, you know, you need to sleep in, or maybe you need to just, whatever, protect yourself or whatever. It's another thing when this just shuts you down for days. Just shuts you down for days or sends you repeatedly to the emergency room. And at that point, then you've got to say, I'm not enjoying total life freedom. It may be presenting as some sickness or something I'm resistant to or whatever. But if it's having such an impact on my life, where it's just strangulating my ability to be free, to go wherever I want to go, do whatever I want to do, whenever I want to do it. If it locks me down for so many days, and this is repeated over and over and over again, just completely knocks me out. There are even natural things that we know are a part of our lives, our cycles, or whatever it is. You can believe God for freedom from that intensity of that situation making your life so intolerable. Especially when it gets to the point where it just makes your life a total difficulty. Where we have to accept that Jesus came to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. And we can stand on the word of God and believe God that even if we have to go through those things in life, because they're part of just our natural lives, that the Lord can bring us out of that level of intensity where it just stops us from living a good life. Hallelujah. I know the Lord is speaking to some people tonight. Glory to God. He says she was bound. She's a daughter of Abraham. And it's Satan who bound her. It's just not nothing. Some people say, oh, it's nothing. No, this is not nothing. Some people say, well, the grandfather, you know, died in his prime. His whole life went down, boom, at a certain age. Then his son, this person's father, something similar. At the exact same age, things began to go down in his life. Lost everything. Failure, whatever, became impoverished, couldn't make anything work, and became, you know, a pauper, and nothing was working, nothing was succeeding, and then died at the same time of a similar sickness. And now, the third generation, as they're approaching that age, things begin to come up that are tracking right behind what the grandfather and the father and the uncle and the auntie and all these people dealt with. They're tracking right behind that, all to tell you, no, this is not just nothing. This is Satan has bound. For this woman, it was 18 years. But for some of these generational things, it's 48 years or 88 years or 120 years, right? And somebody ought to get up. As a child of God, you ought to get up and say, no, this is where it stops. I'm a child of Abraham. I'm a child of God. I'm redeemed. I'm blood bought, blood washed. I'm sanctified. I'm full of the Holy Spirit. This evil, negative yoke and curse will not continue to operate in my life or in my family. It stops right here. It stops right here. And then you go through that, you exercise, you go through freedom, all of those different things that I talked about at the beginning of this service. And then you put your foot on the ground and say, that's it. And every time you see it raise its head, you take authority over it. Stop, right there. In the name of Jesus. And then you make sure you continue to be filled with the word. Continue to be filled with the word. The revelatory truth of the word of God. Remember this story that the late Kenneth E. Hagin told several years ago about one family with a child, a daughter, who had epileptic seizures. And they found out that it was actually related, it was connected, that situation in the life of that little child was connected to an evil influence, evil spirit that had taken over certain aspects of their family because the woman herself, the mother of that child, had yielded so much to unforgiveness. She was almost walking in hatred. It was either one of somebody in her family, whether it was somebody on her end of the family or a mother-in-law or somebody or someone. But that evil spirit had come in there and was now manifesting in the life of this little child through epileptic seizures. And when he ministered to the woman, obviously, challenged her in her love walk, and she got free from that yoke of unforgiveness. She renounced it. She repented of it. She went and made things right with the person she had been grudging and the person she had been holding things against. And freedom came to that little child. Now, in addition to receiving that breakthrough, they also receive revelatory truth. And you know what I said during this earlier on in this service? Satan is not going to stop. A few years later, not long after that little child had been delivered, that evil spirit came back again with epileptic seizures. But this woman, in addition to the anointing that had been disbursed, the power of God that had been disbursed over the life of that child when she was first set free, in addition to the fact that she had gone through renouncing her unforgiveness and shutting the door to the devil, she also received revelatory truth and instructions so that the next time that foul spirit came back and she saw the manifestation of an epileptic seizure in that child. Immediately she remembered everything she had been taught. And then she began to speak to that foul spirit in the name of Jesus. Satan, you take your ugly hands off of my child. I'm walking in love. I don't walk in unforgiveness. In the name of Jesus, I obey the word of God. I'm not in disobedience. In the name of Jesus, you have no right. There's no door open to you here. You have no right. There's no, you have no reason, no way, no right to afflict my child, my daughter, or anybody else in this family. So right now, I command you, get going. And she stood on the word of God and Satan released that child. And that was it. And that was it. And she shared that testimony later on with him, that he did try to come back. So what are we saying? So Jesus said, this woman has been bound for 18 years. This is not just nothing. People say, oh, well, it's just, no, this is just not nothing. There's something spiritual at the root of this. So that woman could have said, this epileptic seizures, you know, it just happens to people. You know, some people have the genes that makes them, you know, deal with epilepsy. Yeah, maybe some things are connected to genes and all of that, but there's still a stronghold over that. There's still a yoke. There's still a power of the enemy that is responsible for that. God didn't create anyone with the genes to suffer epilepsy, epileptic seizures all through their lives. No, that's not abundant life. That's not abundant life. He said, Satan, the thief comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. He said, but I'm come that they may have life. And that they may have it more abundantly. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I love this. Jesus said, Satan who bound her 18 years. And then he said, she ought to be loosed from this bondage. She ought to be loosed from this bondage. Why? Because he came to set the captives free. Right? He came to deliver the oppressed. So she ought to be loosed because he's right here. She's a daughter of Abraham. It's Satan that has bound her. He has authority over Satan. So she ought to be loosed. A lot of revelatory truths right there. A lot of revelatory truths right there. On the Sabbath day. Today. Today is the day of salvation. Right now. This moment. Glory to God. So you see how the power encounter works hand in hand with the truth encounter. Glory to God. Let's read Isaiah chapter 10 verse 27. It's a very popular scripture. There's a lot of power encounter scriptures here. But I'm also going to read a couple before my time is gone tonight. That shows both of them at work. Power encounter, truth encounter. Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 27. Look at it. And it shall come to pass in that day. Says in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Isaiah chapter 10 verse 27. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden, whose burden? Satan's burden. Well, he was talking about the Egyptians. He was talking about Midian. He was talking about, but all of these were the enemies. They were the sworn enemies of God's people, like Satan is the sworn enemy of God's covenant children today. It shall come to pass in that day. In that day. You remember Jesus said, "Oh, not that woman. This woman was the daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound low these 18 years, or she not to be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day, that is today. Do we need to say come back next year or come back in 2 days' time because it's the Sabbath day? No, he says, in that day, it shall come to pass, in that day, that's this day, the anointing of the Holy Spirit is breaking yokes, is removing burdens in this day. That's that power encounter. Glory to God. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off your neck. and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Think about it. The glory to God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. The burden taken away from off your shoulder, that's carrying something that God never intended you to carry. It's a burden on your shoulder. You're carrying a heavy load that God never intended for you to carry. Was never a part of God's plan for you. The burden off of the shoulder. Then the yoke from off the neck. You know, the yoke is what they used to bind like cattle or animals, animals that are used for economic purposes, animals that are raised by farmers and cattle, sheep, and all the yokes are put on the necks of these animals to bind them so that they can't break free, so that they can't escape. That's a bondage. That's a bondage around the neck. Well, what does that bondage do? It stops that animal from being able to live free. When there's bondage in a life, that bondage stops that human from being able to live free. These were the reasons why Jesus came. In that day, it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off your shoulder and his yoke from off your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. The yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. That's the power of God. Remember, Jesus said in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, when he stood up in the temple and he read the scripture, he turned to this particular scriptures from a verse of scripture from Isaiah chapter 61. So Luke chapter 4 from verse 17, there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place wherein it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." The Amplified says, "them that are bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity." To preach deliverance to the captives and to set at liberty them that are broken down, them that are crushed, them that are in bondage. How does he do that? By the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Right? Isaiah 10:27, "It shall come to pass in that day that the burden shall be taken off your shoulders and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." It's a power encounter. In John chapter 8 from verse 31, let's quickly read that. We can close early tonight. Glory to God. Somebody say with me, "I'm free in the name of Jesus." Say, I'm released. There's no bondage around my life. There's no yoke. There's no shackle of the enemy that's holding me back, holding me down. In the name of Jesus, I'm completely free. I have the glorious liberty of the children of God. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Remember what I said at the beginning? What we opened this service with? Our total life freedom is in Jesus. By the power of the Holy Spirit and by the truth, the eternal truth of the Word of God. This is what we opened this service with tonight. Our total life freedom is in Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit and by the truth of the Word of God. In John chapter 8 and verse 31, let's read from verse 31 to verse 36. John chapter 8 from verse 31 to verse 36. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. That's the truth. That's the word. If you continue in my word, when we receive grace, when we receive freedom, when we receive the blessing, when we receive authority, when we, every blessing of God, every grace of God that we receive in our lives, we must continue in the word. Right? The anointing can set the captives free, but it is the truth, the revelatory truth of the word of God that sustains and maintains that freedom. Glory to God. It is glorious. It is glorious to see the anointing at work, the anointing of the Holy Spirit at work, setting the captives free. But if these captives are set free and they don't continue in the truth of the word of God, it won't be long before those bondages are back again in their lives. Listen to this. If you continue in my word, he said, then are you my disciples indeed. Verse 32. And you shall know the truth. Where? Where does the truth come from? From the word. You continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed. And then you shall know the truth. You will have a revelatory knowledge of the truth. Because you continue in my word. You dwell in my word. You have a revelatory knowledge of my truth, of the truth of the word. And then what will happen? The truth will make you free. The truth will make, every day the truth will make you free. Yes, the anointing of the Holy Spirit has already broken the bondage, has destroyed the yoke. You are free. The truth of the word of God will make you free every day, will keep you free. Hallelujah. The truth of the word of God will keep you free. Hallelujah. They answered him and said, we are Abraham's seed and we were never in bondage to any man. Remember that story, that woman's story we read in Luke chapter 13? They are saying, we are Abraham's seed. But they were in bondage. Their bondage was not apparent like the bondage of that woman that was bowed over. They didn't seem to have any infirmity that bowed them over, but they were in bondage in their minds. They were in bondage in their spirits, and many of them were actually in bondage in different areas of their physical being. Jesus said unto them, he said then down there, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin, and the servant does not abide in the house forever, but the son abides forever. And then he said in verse 36, if the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. If the Son will make you free, that's power encounter and truth encounter. Let's close out tonight. Father, we thank you so much for your mighty word. We give you praise for the revelation that the Holy Spirit has blessed us with. We give you all the glory. Thank you, Father, for your word that is actively working and performing in our lives. I give you the praise, O God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Saints, we're out of time. Got to close right here. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for being a part of this service. Glory to God. I lost track of the time as I usually do. So much revelation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I look forward to seeing you again same time next week. God bless you. Good night.